Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipai Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
All right, are you ready for the word of God this afternoon? Open your Bibles, everyone, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. All right, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Are you guys ready to read with me this afternoon? All right, so I want you to give me responses. I want you to, you know, pull out that word from me with your responses, okay? Let this flow. All right, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Have you read this text before and wondered? Why will the Spirit of God lead Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted? Doesn't he like Jesus? Verse 2, what does he say? Everybody want to go? 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. Next verse, what does he say? Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Hallelujah. Why would Jesus, or why would the Spirit rather, lead Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted? Because you know the story, and you know that what Jesus actually went to do in the wilderness is actually to prepare for ministry. So why will the Bible say that the Spirit led him to be tempted? What if it means that there's no preparation without testing? Did you hear what I said? What if it means there is no preparation without testing? You see, the word tempt there is the Greek word perazo, rather, P-E-I-R-A-Z-O. And it means to try a thing, whether it can be done. And so Jesus being led is not being led to be tempted, but being led to be tested. Amen? Amen? But you can use them interchangeably sometimes. So the temptation of the devil was part of the testing. Are you following me, somebody? Are you following me, somebody? And the reason to bear you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Hallelujah. Is in the Bible or not? So the devil is quoting the Bible to tempt Jesus. Very interesting. And how did Jesus respond again? Everybody read together. I want to go. Verse 7. Jesus said to him, you shall not test or tempt the Lord your God. Hallelujah. So what's the second temptation? Don't tempt or test God. Are you getting that? Don't what? Tempt or test God. So the second temptation was for Jesus to tempt or to test God. In verse 8, it details the third temptation. Are you ready to read verse 8, everybody? All right, read together. 1, 2, go. Again, the devil took him up. So let's start from verse 8 again, everybody. Read together. 1, 2, go. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Verse 9, what does he say? And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. You see? So the next temptation was for him to what? Worship the devil. And what did Jesus say? Verse 9, 1, 2, go. And he said to him, or 10 rather, 1, 2, go. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. What are you noticing here? Well, the devil sometimes even will quote scriptures to tempt you. But Jesus responded by always saying, it is written. And if there's one thing you can learn from this, maybe in dealing with temptation, you don't deal with temptation in your mind, you speak out. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So Jesus spoke out. He spoke out and he responded. But the other thing you can learn is that all of the responses of Jesus were from the scriptures. Now, this is where what I taught you on the first day will make sense to you. The 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness parallels the 40 days of Israel, in the 40 years of Israel in the wilderness. Do you know that? And the most interesting part of that is that every response that Jesus gave to the devil were responses that God told the Israelites when they fell in their own tests, when they failed in their own tests. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? When they failed in their tests. So, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2, the Bible says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God. So, Israel was tested in those 40 years in the wilderness as well. Are you getting the contrast now or the comparison? Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Israel were 40 years in the wilderness, also being tested. And you are learning purpose of the test just by the nature of the things that you are seeing. That if God is doing a great thing in a person, he will test him. He has said that Israel will be the nation through which he will bless the whole world. But that did not come without testing. Even Abraham was tested. Are you listening to me? Even Abraham was tested. And so the Israelites were 40 years there and they were tested. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, it says, you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness to what? Media, put it on the screen. You have to walk with me fast. If I quote a text, always put it on the screen, please. Bibles. Quickly, quickly. Open your Bibles. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Are you there? It says, oh, now it's on the screen. The Lord led you all these 40 years in the wilderness. For what reason? Are you seeing that? Number one, to humble you. Number two, for what reason? To test you. Why else? To know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandment or not. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. Verse 15. Let's read together, everybody. One, two, go. Come on, read like a mass choir. One, two, go. Who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty lands where there was no water? Who brought you, or rather, who brought water for you out of the filthy rock? Verse 16. Verse 16 again. One, two, go. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna? Which your fathers did not know, that in my what? Are you seeing the reason again? That in my what? Humble you and test you to do you good in the end. So the outcome of tests is for you to be better. Are you getting the point? It's for you to be what? Better. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. Are you there? Everybody read together. I want to go. Do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and what? Tried me and what? Now here it looks as though it was them that tested God. But KJV says, do not harden your heart like in the days of temptation. Are you see what I'm saying? So, what they experienced NKJV is calling the day that they tested God was actually their own testing in the day of temptation. So, what am I trying to tell you? That the 40 years in the wilderness of the Israelites was also their temptation and their testing. Are you getting this, somebody? It was also what? The days of their what? Temptation and their testing. Are you learning something today? So, now the interesting part is that every response that Jesus gave to the devil to overcome temptation parallels the experience of the children of Israel 40 years in that wilderness as well. The temptation, what's the first temptation, everybody? Turn stone to bread. And what was Jesus' response? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What was he talking about? He was actually responding to the reference of when the children of Israel were fed manna in the wilderness. And God told them that for all these days, I will give you food. But on the Sabbath day, don't come out and take food. Take more than you can take the next day. First of all, there's a miracle there. You are in the wilderness and there's no food. And food begins to fall from the sky. Do you know the kind of God you serve? Jesus. Or maybe you think it was a myth. It was just storytelling. I say food drop from heaven. So you will wake up in the morning and you will go out and you'll pick food from the floor. Is that too much for God? Is that impossible for Yahweh? That you wake up. You don't have food, but God made it so. So when God tells you, who dresses the lily, who feeds the sparrow, if not me, you should understand that he knows what he's saying. I already provide for every creation I have. Why do you think it will be harder for you? So now this guy is disobeyed. And the response of God to them, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Meaning, if I could cause it to rain and I tell you not to take it, you should believe that you will not go hungry. Are you listening to me, somebody? If I say don't go out and take anything on Saturday, don't be scared that what will you eat next week? You already are in the middle of a miracle. I get what I'm saying. You're already in the miracle, in the middle of a miracle. So why are you still scared if miracles will happen? Meaning, if you are in this wilderness 60 days, I'll still feed you. If you are there 5 years, I'll still feed you. If you are there 70 years, I will feed you every day and you will not go hungry. Don't you understand the God you are serving? Do you know what the Daniel temptation was? The Daniel temptation was that he will not eat the food they were eating, but God will make him fat. So all of you that do Daniel fast, you think he was about losing weight? It was not. Because the people who were, the wise men who were working with the king, had the way they looked. They looked big. Are you see what I'm saying? It was the picture of wealth in those days. It's now that beautiful people are skinny. Then beautiful people, the people who are really eating well, are the ones that have body. Don't let anybody body shame you. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? In those days, that was it. So he said, I will not eat anything from the king's table, but watch and see who will be better between me and those people. You don't understand. There's something called spiritual fat addition and reduction. Sorry. It's a lie. You don't teach it to. But that's what happened to Daniel. Because at the end, they looked better than the others. Meaning they were fatter by eating vegetables. Are you getting the point here? I'm trying to show you here what the word that God was telling them was. He says, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Are you learning something today? So the temptation and the testing points them to something. What was the second temptation? What was the second temptation? Don't tempt or test the Lord. Don't. And you might be like, where was that? Well, the actual place where that happened was at Massa. Have you ever known the story of Massa? They got to a place and they were thirsty. And you, who just walked in the middle of an ocean, at the belly of the ocean, the floor, with waters congealed to your left and to your right, as tall as skyscrapers, you can look inside and see fish swimming. First aquarium in the world. You are in the middle, deep there, in the center. One mistake, if God should just sleep like this, boom, you are dead. You trusted God enough to walk in the middle of that sea. Then you now reached the wilderness. You are thirsty and you want to curse God. Moses said, you better don't tempt God. Better don't tempt God. So when the Lord came out and told them, do not tempt the Lord your God. So when Jesus is responding to Satan, he takes the same words that, are you getting the parallel? He takes the same words and he says, it is written, do not tempt the Lord your God. What was the third one? What was the third temptation? Come on, I want to hear. Worship. Do not worship, do not bow. So the devil was telling him to worship him, he will give him everything. And we all know the story that parallels this. Moses was up there receiving the oracles of the Lord to give to them. And then he turns down. The same people he went on the top of the mountain to get the oracles of God from were already worshiping a golden calf. Do not bow. Any other God. So what is going on here? The whole goal was to prune and purify their hearts, was to humble them and see if they would really trust Yahweh. That was their test. Jesus's test as well is for the same reason. Are you see what I'm trying to say? And if you're going to be tested as well, it will be for the same reason. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? It will be for what? The same reason. The same reason. Israel failed their test, but Jesus passed the test. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But I said all of that to say this. In the position of the average charismatic today, we would fail most of these tests. Ah! Failure go plenty. We'll fail. And like I said before, a lot of people have already failed. A lot. And the reason I say that is because if you look closely at what is going on with Jesus, especially the first temptation, you will notice a couple of things. Number one, in that first temptation, Jesus was really hungry. So his need was legitimate. Did you hear what I said? Some of you think temptations will be based on illegitimate things. No. The things that will tempt you will be legitimate. He was truly hungry. A lot of us don't know how to understand that Jesus, some of you think because he was God, he didn't really feel that much hunger. He did. He did. Actually, that's one of the biggest lies you can say to yourself. Do you know? You know, if you were to ask what the doctrine of the Antichrist will be, you would think it will attack something big. But the Bible says that any spirit that says Jesus is not come in the flesh, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. So to say Jesus is not really human is to be an Antichrist spirit. So it is by every right and fact, Jesus is human. He felt all the pain. He went through all the things, meaning at that time, after 40 days, he was hungry. Amen? After 40 days, were you hungry? In our fast. But Jesus, listen, say Jesus was hungry. And the explanation of this was that, you know, in the hypostatic union, theologians call it the hypostatic union, that he was what? 100% man, 100% God. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? He was at, no, there was no point in his earthly ministry where he was not God. There was no point in his earthly ministry where he was not man. He was fully God, fully man. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? So, even though when he came to earth, he gave up certain divine privileges, did not mean he was not still divine. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Did not still mean he didn't have the power. And that also does not mean that he was not human. And so, in the actual fact of it, in that wilderness, Jesus was hungry. Very hungry. Meaning that it would have been legitimate if he had turned the stone to bread. Wouldn't he have been? He would have been. The second thing to note from there, apart from the fact that he was really hungry, was that he could have performed the miracle. He had the power. The miracle being done was not because of the lack of power. He had the power to do it, and so he could have done it. He still had all of his divine powers. He could have done it. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he could turn water to wine, he could turn stone to bread. If he could feed 5,000 people with how many bread? How many? Five. What is stone? He would turn the stone to turkey leg. What are you saying? Bread is even small. That's even small thinking. To start, you are hungry. You just say, the change. Just, oh my God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say, somebody? So, he could have performed the miracle. Actually, it would not be a temptation if he could not do it. You get what I'm saying? It's only a temptation because he could have done it. Amen? Uh-huh. So now, if Jesus was hungry, and the need was legitimate, there was no deficiency in his capacity, why then did he not do it? Why then did he not do it? Are you listening to me, somebody? Why then? And there's so much to learn from this theological truth I just presented to you, that the fact that a need is legitimate and the fact that it is within God's power does not mean it is right to be done for you at that moment. I just destroyed your charismatic table now. That something can be legitimate and it can be God's. God can do it in his power, but that does not mean it to be done. The way the average charismatic thinks is that, can God not do it? And is he an important need in my life? Then it needs to be done. So when you pray some prayers and you don't get answers, you say, oh, they are unanswered prayers. But you don't understand that there is a third reason why it will not happen. There's a third reason. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? We only consider two factors. I need it. God can do it. That settles it. It is done. And they tell you, just confess it. Say it. You believe it. It will be done. But sometimes you have a legitimate need. You say it. You believe it. The power of God can do it, but it will not happen. And you have to learn that part. Are you following me, somebody? Jesus gives a third reason why it will not be done. And the third reason is because man shall not live by bread alone. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You might need something. You want it at that moment. God can do it. In your mind, those two things are already precedence for a miracle to happen. But there's a third reason. The third reason is that man shall not live by bread alone. Are you guys what I'm saying? He multiplied the 5,000. He did everything. He got to a point. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. That day they stopped following him. Not because he could not multiply the bread. He had done it before. Not because he could not give them food. But beyond food, God wanted something more. Hey, please, are you listening to me, somebody? Beyond food, he wanted to reveal to them that it's not just about the bread that he gives, but for the bread that he is. There is more. That's more than me giving you bread to eat. If you can obey my voice, you'll be satisfied forever. Are you listening to me, somebody? Am I preaching? But we only consider these two factors. And listen, you must learn this. These are lessons that I learned very early in ministry. It's why we are where we are today. And I believe if we are going to go to the next phase of ministry, then we must learn this. You must learn this. Say, I must learn this. Say, I must learn this. I've seen God test my resolve many times with this simple principle. That sometimes, yes, God can do what you are asking for and is more than capable. Yes, it is legitimate. But sometimes God has higher priorities than what you are asking. And you must be okay to see and ask God for his priorities instead of arguing on that one. Some of you, because of legitimate miracles you are asking God, you've turned out of the plan of God for your life. Because of legitimate miracles, because of legitimate things that you are looking at, even in your ministry, because of legitimate things you want to see, you've stepped out of God's plan. There are certain people that because of certain expectations of what they want God to do in their lives and in their ministry, God has moved away from there. They are still there. And because of that, they are limited. Am I preaching today? Some of you have stepped out of God's plan for legitimate reasons. Not once, not twice, not three times. I've seen people step out of God's plan for seemingly legitimate things. You know, one of the things God reminded us when we were praying about prophecies, you know, praying before this meeting, I was praying with some of the deacons, and God reminded us of prophecies from 3 years ago. 3 years ago, he gave us a prophecy in, I think, 2022. You know, and let me prophesy here. The Lord is saying, and I want to announce to you what the Lord has said. There's a prophecy God gave us in 2022. And God is telling us now when we are praying that 2026 is going to be the most critical moment in that prophecy. But many of the people who received the prophecy with us are not here because they thought it was sharp, sharp. Are you listening to me? How many of you remember when we received the prophecy of the dynamic spread? Let me announce to you, 2026 is going to be the most critical moment in the prophecy of the dynamic spread. You know, in 2023, God told us that dynamic spread is not over. But he did not tell us when it will stop or when it will continue. Let me explain for those who don't know what I'm talking about. In 2022, the Lord told us, you know, actually the theme of the year 2022 was dynamic spread. And the Lord told us that he's going to spread us in a very dynamic way, where the graces you will see in this ministry would not be just the graces on my life, but because of individual people, that oil and graces will flow from the top of my head to individual people, and they will begin to bless people, and they will have similar types of results. Many of you that are seated here, it was not me that got you saved. It was other people in this church. It was not me that brought you to Catalyst. It was other people in this church. The real people I brought to Catalyst are your deacons. So, the year I went to Canada, our church increased. Are you listening to me? Have you heard of it before? That you are not in a place physically and your ministry is still growing. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, by dynamic spread, the Lord began to work within people. And he's been doing the work gradually. But he's now telling us that 2026 is going to be the most critical in that. Especially because of apostolic order. So, imagine you receive the prophecy of the dynamic spread with us. And maybe you saw one or two growths and you were like, oh, nice, that's it. Meanwhile, God had a plan that 20, look at that. How many years after? It's going to be the most critical, meaning if we were 12 or 15 or 50 that received dynamic spread that made over 100 and something people seated here to be here, it means that if 100 and something of you receive dynamic spread, what are the amount of results we will receive back? Are you listening to me? Are you learning something today? In that prophecy came graces, callings, equipping for ministries, even territories. God allocated certain territories to certain people because of that prophecy. But many did not know. Many thought what we are doing here is fellowship. So we said we are planting a church. Two workers said, I mean, three workers said they are no more in our church again. That they didn't sign up for this. And it was not because they didn't sign up for it or anything. It was just because they felt like, that's a lot. This church is not ready. And by themselves, they signed themselves out. Listen, I'm not talking petty talk. I'm telling you what I know. Sign themselves out of prophetic alignment just by themselves. So, by legitimate reason, you might sign yourself out of legitimate plans that God has for you. And your reason will be valid. You've always thought it to be invalid reasons, but your reasons will be valid. Your reasons will be valid because you have legitimate reasons and needs, but there's a third reason why you should stay. What is the will of God? That God might have higher priorities than your reasons. Higher priorities. And those who stepped into dynamic spread received the graces for it. Have you seen people you knew 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and they are different people today? Do you know them in this ministry? Okay. So then it's a real concept. But for legitimate reasons, I keep using that word. Many of the people for whom that word was for are no longer here. Some have left because of offense. God forbid offense will take you out of the legitimate plan of God for your life. Are you seeing what I'm saying? We don't have plenty of offense in our church, but I'm saying I know some have left because of offense. You know, one day, one uncle brought one lady that he wanted to date to our church. See, be careful. If you want to date, especially those of you ladies, and even the guys, and you want to date somebody, they can be teachable before you start, but they might reveal themselves later. So when you bring them, you can do it in other ministries, but to a ministry like Catalyst, when you bring them, give them time. Let them be baptized in the spirit of this church. Because if you don't, you will become a burden to them. The call of people that align with this ministry is always heavier than random people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so your partners will be implicated and they will be frustrated because of the great call you have, and they can limit you. You will start having fights in your relationship. We don't spend time together, babe. Every time, prayer. And I'm not saying you should not have quality time with your partner, but partners who don't want to see it will never see it. So even the time you give them, it will not be quality. It's your prayer time that's quality. Are you listening to me? So, this uncle brought this lady one time, and she was a part of the ministry. And if you know us, we'll go follow you up. Oh. Follow up has given people depression in our ministry. Because some of you are wicked. One man of God, he likes to follow up. He will follow up. He saw like five people was following up on. They stopped answering his call. They were ignoring him. He had to ask me on. They say, Pastor, does God really change people's hearts? I say, yeah, he does that. If he goes to follow up, he has PTSD. He cannot do follow. We don't tell him to call people again. Just leave them. He It got to a point I disbanded the follow-up team in this church. You know now. I removed it. Because someone will be following up on, it's you that use your leg to come to our church. It's you that sign up. It's you that say we should follow up on you. You'll not be insulting protocol. What's wrong with you? I say protocol. You'll be insulting follow-up people. So here is the thing. If you are joining Catalyst now, you are enjoying small. And even with the small enjoyment, you are not still coming to fellowship. If I catch you. See, people that were with me, we had meetings. Sunday, fellowship. Monday, intercessory prayers. Are you listening to me? Thursday, service. Friday, vigil, 3 hours. Saturday, workers training or something. Oh, what? Now, you are not even doing Monday. You are crying. Some people have Tuesday, workers meeting. Some workers meeting. Which one again? Deacon's prayer, cell leaders meeting. So, listen, the result you see in people is not accidental. Amen? It's not accidental. So, now, you have just a few. Listen, you will not grow just by walking through and pass. There's work to be done. And you must be willing and open to do it. You won't teach people how to raise. You won't teach the church how to raise you. Someone said things are not done like that. Someone texted me one day and said, in my whole year of church, of going to church in my life, this has never happened to me. What's my business? Do you know what the early church was doing? They were meeting every day. You have not even reached church. Early church, they were meeting every day in people's houses. And it's not like we have plenty. If you come to church on, if you come for fellowship on Sunday, and now that there's a church in Lagos, those of you that you are not going to, if I catch you, there's church in Lagos now. Now, if you go to church on Sunday, some of you, you don't know that the way the devil is catching you is because you don't know how to connect your Sunday to Monday. The devil is happy with you going to church on Sunday. He does not care. What he cares about is that when you go on Monday, you'll be listening to rubbish song. He cares that in your office, you are associating with the wrong people on Tuesday. He cares that on Wednesday, when you are driving, you'll be insulting people and using cuss words. He cares that you are watching rubbish movie on Thursday. So when we try to put a midweek service so that you remember that you are still a child of God, you did not come. How do you want to live purposefully? Everything we do, there are reasons. We don't just like, it's not like we like seeing your face. You think I don't have, I have life. Having sleepless nights to build sermons for you, help you do everything, just show up. Do you know what it means? That for 3 years I was pastoring that global community and I showed up. If you count how many meetings I missed, maybe two. If I could do it with other things I was busy with and working, you can plan. Do you know you can plan and say nothing will be as important as God to me? Meaning that I don't plan my life around, you know, try to fit God into my life. I plan every other thing when I've already settled God. This one, I must show up for it. There's nothing negotiating it unless it's a critical thing. So we don't have a problem with you not coming, for example, to meetings when it's critical. But we have a problem when that's every day you, every challenge you face will take you away from church. Are you seeing the problem? Who take you away from church? Well, ask. Listen, there's no way your course wants to be harder, to be harder than medicine now. Abby? Will it be harder than medicine? No. So, go and ask the medical students I've pastored. They are thankful that I did not let them stray away. Because when exam comes, they've wired their brain that that's their life. What kind of demonic idea is that? It's just a means to an end now. So now, they will stop coming to every form of, they will not pray, their devotion will suffer. Then after the exam, they will not be finding their way. God, where are you? So what did we do? We gave them time from certain other meetings, but I made sure that they always showed up for Thursday and Sunday, because there will be things that will be harder in your life. Will it mean that everything you face that is hard will take you from church? So those of you that you were not going to church in school, now you want to do man of God. The people that were going in school, they were training. They were learning. Because in this life, you will face things that are harder than exam. Does it mean that the moment a trouble shows? Forget, we cannot see you. Forget it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, prophecy is more important. Are you listening to me? Now, the funniest thing is that in the same period where we received dynamic spread, the Lord gave us another word. And that word was that this church would be like a moving train. You know that word? That it would be like a going train. And the Lord gave us a warning. He said, as that train is going, someone actually saw a vision. That as the train is going, certain people dropped off casually. Jesus. And certain people stepped on casually. But the train kept on going. Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And truly, certain people have stepped up casually. And many people, are there people that have stepped on casually here? Okay. Certain people have stepped on casually. And the train is still going. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, for various reasons that seem legitimate, different people have been swayed by different things. Some people itching ears. Some people the lack of will. Some people the reason is because their catalyst is too much. The rigor is too much. You've never seen rigor. The rigor is too much. If you really want it, you will do it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There are examples of people that had dreams that God has tied their spinal cord to this ministry. They still left. People don't know how to follow God, though. Listen to me. I don't know if I have the power to call you young people, but people don't know how to follow God. People don't know how to follow God. God warned us that people will drop casually and they should be careful. And people still drop casually. Do you understand what that means? If you hear that kind of word, what will you do? Come rain, come sunshine. I will hold it. Even if my flesh is saying, get out of here, get out, I will hold it. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Do you know the devil talks to you as much as God talks to you too? Someone has come to me before with a legitimate word that this is not their home. In 2 weeks later, the person realized that it's the devil. See, I've discipled people, I've seen my fair share. A girl came to me and said that, you know, she had a dream that the guy that she's dating will come to marry, and God told her she should not marry him, rather, whatever. That God said, don't marry that person no matter what happens. 1 month later, she told me they're going to get married. You guys don't remember that I remember things. I'm sure she does not know that. She does not remember that she told me that. So, there are people that have come to me and have told me that, you know, fair men, no. Don't put your, I don't put my, this ministry, I don't put my trust in anybody. Yeah? Disciple will tell you that, sir, I follow you with my life. I will, till the end. If you die, I die. Pastor, you know, I heard one story of one man, Four Square Church. They carried all their money and paid for him to go school abroad for theology. And start a ministry for them abroad. He reached there. He did the school. He now came back to them that God has called him to start his own ministry. You are wicked. You are a wicked man. You are wicked. Why did God not tell you 2 weeks ago? Why did God not tell you when they were gathering the money for you? Even if you hear that kind of call, wait first. Just help them plant their branch first. Eh? Don't be wicked. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of order. Listen, we have extreme charismatic this thing in our body where we don't follow order, we follow the first listen, catalyst, be careful when you say God said. Sometimes it's not God, it's your feelings. If you watch me, I'm very careful. You can say I feel like, or don't even say God said unless you are sure that God said. So a lady came to me and said she's in another ministry and there's a lot of pressure from her from that ministry, you know, to serve, and she was serving here as well. Now, see, don't put me in that stage. I hate having to negotiate for disciples. Why are you talking to me? It's like you want me to fight for you. Disciples, don't do that to your pastors. It's bad. Go and pray. You are not talking to me now. It's almost like who can fight the hardest. Did I tell you I want to be fighting for disciples? If not because God said I should not let people go easily, I should fight for them. I will not be having these negotiations. I will not be helping you guide you. Okay, what did God say? I was the dream. Okay, don't you think... But the problem is that I'm in a tough spot because you might not believe what I'm saying because you think because I have a stake in it, I'm trying to tell you what is good for you to be here. That's why I don't talk sometimes. I watch some of you do funny things and until you make mistakes, I will now, okay, but I will not say I told you so. I'll just hug you back and say, come back. But I'll give you eye like this. Some of you know I've done it to you before. If I say don't date him, I'll just be preparing so that when the outbreak comes, I'll just catch you. Say, ah, sorry. Next time, you not do it again, Abby. That's good. Okay, you have learned your lesson. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, what was I saying? I need to finish that story. It seemed very important. A lady, another church. Then I asked her categorically. I said, if God asks you to be here. See, do you know that God does not change his mind that frequently? Do you know if God tells you to follow something, somebody, or a ministry, you can hardly make an argument that God told you to live in the middle unless something bad or wrong happens in that ministry. You can hardly make an argument because God doesn't randomly change his mind unless he's taking you on a journey. You have to understand God is a God of order. He's a God of process. Amen? So some of you, your feeling might be, the praise and worship is sweet here. You say, it's God that say, that's the thing. Don't deceive yourself. You know deep down, some of you. You know. So that lady then left the ministry. Because I told her, I said, what's the Lord that you said? The Lord said I should go there. I knew it was a bad idea. And maybe I regret a bit that I didn't push a bit more for her to stay. She left. I think it was 6 months after, I heard that she was being harassed by the pastor of that church. Being harassed. It was terrible. So the way God even tried to restore her was that one day she asked one of the leaders of her church that, Alpha, is this thing normal? Does Pastor Mike treat people like this? The person said, what are you saying? Eh? That's wrong, go. Run away. But you know the problem? She tried to come back. But you know the thing about catalysts? Sometimes if you live for too long, it's always harder to come back. You know why? You've trained your body to live outside of the rigor of catalyst. That it will take encounters to really help you come back and stay. So every time you come, you feel like, I'm lost. You are not really lost. If you come for the meeting, you will understand the preaching. But you'll be saying, I'm lost. I can't. Oh, this teaching, I will never understand it. You will understand it if you stay. But because there's already something in your mind telling you that, you will now feel like, okay. Have you ever felt like that before? Then God brought you back. And it's not just catalysts. It's any church that has proper rigor. Once you leave, you begin to feel out of place. You have to fight to be able to stay. Sometimes it's an encounter that will help you. Because already you booked your Thursday night with something else. So you understand, the space you used to have, you filled it with other things that will now begin to compete with your commitment to the church. Now, the good news is we are still praying for some of these people. I'm telling you their stories. And I know the Lord will bring many of them back. But you see, the funniest thing is that there are also people who thought that if they leave, the ministry will die. Some people feel too important. Who be you? Who you be? You don't know that God raises people. Oh. Let me move away from this part. Are you learning something? You see, even in the Bible, all that Lot did to be blessed was to follow Abraham. Some of you have to learn. Lot does not even still know that it's Abraham that. He probably doesn't know that it's Abraham that was interceding for him, if not if he'll die for Sodom. Because the moment I've arrived, that's another thing. Some disciples, I taught you small Greek word. Only small. You want to go and start your own church? Me, I don't even cook care. But my own is, what's wrong with you? You want to go and burn? You don't know that sometimes mentorship is your protection. Go and ask the people when I started. I know they put my face for flyer. Spotlight can injure you. You don't know light can injure. Hey! You just start to misbehave. You don't know where your misbehaving is from. Because now, you have positioned yourself as somebody that has protection. So the devils are like, let's try him. His suit is fine. Let's just test his resolve. Just send some sisters your way. They will negotiate your destiny. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They will negotiate your destiny. But here is the problem. If you had stayed longer under protection, you would have built the fortitude that will keep you in the days of adversity. You would have built it. I'm still learning. Two Greek words. You say you have arrived. When you hear me preaching camp meeting, you know that I've labored. And I'm still, I don't know. Don't be surprised if tomorrow you see me in one theology school. I'm not joking. There's so much to know about God, so much to learn. As I am, I still have a pastor. I still go for meetings, special meetings, and I want to do more. I still listen to sermons. I still take notes. Even when my disciple is teaching, I take notes. Are you listening to me? You preach, I say, I've heard that, but the way you said it, I don't used to tell them just so they don't feel too. I'm like, wow. There'll be places your pastor cannot reach, certain places of influences your pastor cannot reach that you will reach. Some of you in ministry, you know, some of the hardest people to reach are your siblings. They don't see you finish. Hey! God was anointing me in the same house. He did not respect me. Hallelujah. Some people cannot just remain patient. Just stay patient. You know, activities don't have to be happening in your life every day. Some of you can't deal with days of patience. Sometimes just be raising your disciples. I said, no, I've not done an activity in a long time. Just calm down. Eh? So now you are burnt out. When you have used all the things you have learned to do IG story. Learn more, learn more, learn more. Learn more than you talk sometimes. Learn a lot. And sometimes God will push you to say a lot, but make sure you are learning back. You see this ministry, what some of you don't know is that there's a temptation to be teaching everything you are learning, and you can't survive a ministry like that. You will burn out. Amen? So what has helped me this year is that if you see that archive of notes I have, some teachings I have to reteach. You know, it was Kenneth Hagin that said he has not preached a sermon well enough until he has preached it like 33 times. Me, I'm still like 5 of some sermons. You will hear it, rehear it. You know, there's some sermons that we do every year, and it sounds new every year. You have to master those things, though. Because if you start ministry and you're always looking for new, you will enter realms that the Lord did not realm. That one, no tap. You go still tap. No worry. So, because of that, you are always looking for the next best thing. Very soon, your pastor will not be, he will not satisfy you. You will not start feeling like, I'm not, and your pastor, gently, honoring the Lord, teaching you the most important thing. But now, the amount of how inquisitive you are is already beyond what your pastor can offer you. Not because he cannot offer you, because God puts in your pastor everything you need. But now, you are outgrowing your pastor at a premature rate. So it's not that you are outgrowing him because you don't even know what he knows. And you don't know it well enough, even the one you know. But you are looking for newer things every day. Every day. So now, the teachings that are exciting you. I don't want to say anything. My life is well. Amen. I want to say some things. Don't have itching ears. Don't have itching ears. Sometimes it pays to stay and follow. Stay and follow. I had a disciple once. He was burning for ministry so hard. He started to go and do ministry with people. Every ministry he goes to do, 6 months later, Catalyst will do the exact same thing. And we did not know about his own plan. He will now see that he went in his flesh. So what some of you are doing is that you are going to give your husband Hagar instead of waiting for God's plan. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So he will do something, and then when he now talks to me about it, while I'm trying to say, be patient. But me, I will not tell him that it's already in the books. He now sees the implementation. So one day, I will stay. And then in this ministry, he found the expression to everything that he was running to go and do and was crashing and burning. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. Let's move on. Are you learning something today? James 4:3, the Bible says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. So there's something called asking amiss. Someone can begin to pray about traveling to Australia without any thought of what God's will is or what God is doing in your life. And why is it not answered? You are asking amiss. Amiss. Even for me, you know, some of you have jackpot syndrome. Any small thing now, jackpot, you don't even ask what is the will of God. And you know, it's not a bad thing to jackpot. You can just seek a better life and move naturally. But there are some of us that can't do that. I don't know if you're part of it, some of us. But some of us, we ask the Lord, what is your will, sir? What would you have me do? How would you have me go about it? Some of you don't know. It was more of a temptation for me to travel than stay. It's not what you usually hear, be? It's usually a temptation to travel. But for me, it was not. You think I'm not happy pastoring this number of people? We don't blow things. Yeah? We don't buy land. Hey, I would have arrived. You know? All of our schools are here. We don't go to your school, they do tour. Apostolic tour. Next camp meeting, shoom. And we are still going to do it, don't worry. Amen? So I'm leaving 100 and something people to go and start afresh. You think I really wanted to? Now I'm in a new city. Nobody. Me that have done understanding the gospel, receive insult from some of you. And I want to go and repeat that whole process in another land. So it was more of a temptation to go. But I said, okay, Lord, if you are saying to go, let's go. Let's see. And look at how the Lord has taken care of everything. Amen? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So a third reason is, you know, why you might not receive the things you are looking for is because God has higher priorities for you. As I begin to turn this teaching in, you know, the direction of closing, there are three stories I want to present to you that I think will sum up everything that I'm going to teach you and I'm trying to teach you this afternoon. The first story happened on Mount Eden. I've changed the name now. If you have been here since, you get that. The second story happened on Mount Ararat. And the third story happened on Mount Moriah. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Let's start with the first story on Mount Eden. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Please, are you learning something today? Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. Are you ready for apostolic order? So this is what we're going to do as I teach this. Next year, our ministry and everyone who's connected to us, we're going to preach to 1,000 people. Maybe in 6 or 7 months. We divide it. We'll give Windsor 500, even though you should be doing more than Windsor. I should give you more, Abby. So, we'll give Windsor, what should I give Windsor? 450? 400? 3. People do the remaining 700. I'll give Windsor 400. And I'll give you 600. You will do 600 fast. Why are you saying, like it's impossible? Is it impossible? Okay, I thought you don't know where you are. You're on a mountain. It's a place of decision. So, let's do this. I'll give you 650. And I'll give Windsor 350. Is that up to 1,000? All right. We're going to record it. We're going to get the details. When you preach to a person, we will pray on those names. So the follow-up is not just going to be, I spoke to them and that's the end. No. We'll have a record of it, an Excel sheet, so that as we preach to them, the ones who follow up for discipleship will disciple them. The ones who don't will pray on their name. You know what prayer can do now? They will come back and meet you by themselves. That's what they do. And then we'll plug them, you know, by God's grace next year as well. The rest of our cell groups must be more active than they've been. Meaning, in Lagos alone, apart from our cell church, we should have at least two or three cell groups. Okay? Two or three cell groups that we can plug people to. In Ibadan, we must at least have two or three cell groups as well. In Abuja, I know we have one. We must have at least two or three cell groups. Amen? Cell groups. Amen? And then I'll give you some of the other information on how we want to begin to go to campuses. So, are we going to do this? 1,000 souls? 1,000 souls? So, we are starting first with 1,000 souls generally as a ministry, but very soon, we'll move on to 1,000 souls to each of us. Hallelujah. We can't just say those things and prophesy them and not act on them. Are there people here that want to be a part of that? Okay. Maybe I should say you should sign it in your book so that you don't forget. Some of you now, 2 months, you have forgotten everything that happened on this mountain. God forbid. That's not your life. Hallelujah. What I want, I don't know how you're going to do it. What I want to do in Windsor is we're going to paste it on the wall. So everybody will see our progress. Amen? So we know how much we still have to do. But we'll do that. Hallelujah. Alright, so the first story is on Mount Eden. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. Are you ready? Alright, read with me everybody. 1, 2, go. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. What does it say next? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For of the day you eat of it, Now, it's very important to see here and understand that God gave man a choice to choose him or to go after something good, something valid. Listen to me. Is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil valid? That's what you miss. You think Adam and Eve just decided to do it and it was not a temptation. It's something that seems good. What is going to give to you seems good. It's going to give you the knowledge of what? Good and evil. And that's a good thing. But there the problem lies again. That in God telling them that it is good to eat every other thing and it is not good to eat that one, God himself has defined good from evil. So they didn't need the tree. Hey, am I preaching to people today? If you are lost, say I'm lost. Okay, everyone is following. They didn't need a tree. So, the decision that they have to make now is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the man of God. It's the same pattern that is happening here. So, God is telling you that there is a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it's a valid tree, and you can see it, it's a valid tree, but I am telling you good from evil. So, will you trust my voice, or will you go for the valid thing that will give you? And there again, you see the third caveat that you have. That some things might be within your reach and might seem legitimate, but because God has said, will you trust the voice of God and ignore that thing? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And so for Adam and Eve, what did they do? They ate of the fruit. And that's the problem. And so on this mountain, they did not live by the word of God. And if you get what I'm saying, what I'm teaching you today, if you learn it, you'll be unstoppable in the will of God. That you would see certain things that are legitimate, but the most important thing to you will be the word of God. What has God said to you? Are you doing it? How has God instructed you? Are you living by it? Or are you living by what is comfortable? I'm telling you, and I'm repeating this again. Some of you, the biggest limitations to the call of God in your life are siblings, aunties, parents. And when I wrote this down, I said, do I want to really share this? Because I'm not trying to turn you against your parents. But I'm telling you, many of them faced their lives in their youth. They started ministry. So a time will come where the most important thing to you will be the word of God. Amen? Will be the word of God. Because man shall not live by bread alone. Some of you is your partners that are your biggest opposition, your biggest problem in doing ministry. So there will have to be a point where you come to where you begin to say, I want to negotiate my destiny better. Amen? Where at least you push a bit and you don't give up. I know it's hard and I know it takes wisdom, but God will give you wisdom. Say a big amen. You will have to begin to negotiate better. Some of you, if you don't try, they will not see that you are serious. Amen? There was a time, there was a rule in my home that any ministration I receive must have come 4 weeks before so that I can inform my dad. But some of these invitations don't come 4 weeks before. So one day, I had a respectable clash with my father. I put respectable. I'm not teaching you rubbish. It's not me you heard it from. Amen. But you know, the way God presents it is that, and the way the word of God presents it is that the word of God is the most and should be the most important thing to you. So there must be some wisdom pushback, if you know what I'm talking about. There might be some days where you have to clean the floor, arrange the roof, mop the ceiling, just to please them. And there might be some days where you have to say, I've cleaned the floor. At this point, people are not being reasonable. You know what? I will show you small that I'm mad, but I'm not going to say, I'm sorry. Amen? Not mad, bad mad, but mad for the good reason. Because when they see you doing those things, they will be happy in the end. So sometimes you'll be limited if you don't negotiate your own destiny. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you indeed have a call of God on your life, there must be some wisdom that will allow you. And here's the problem. Some of you need to be wiser than you are if you want to discuss with them. You can't be doing all the rubbish you are doing in the house and expect that they'll take you seriously. If they don't think they can trust you with your future, they won't. So yesterday you are messing up. You know that now you are saying that I'm a minister of the gospel. They say she wash plates. You know what? She say this is persecution. Better go and wash that plate. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you do everything the right way and legitimately, it will get to a point where you might have to sit them down, no matter how scared of them you are, and say, sir, ma, this. See, they might laugh you to scorn. Your siblings might laugh at you. But at least you've told them. Do you know what I'm saying? So if they see you moving anyhow, they know why you're moving anyhow. And until they come to terms and grasp of the fact that you have a call of God on your life, everybody will now start respecting it. Because one day, God will present you with a test where you have to heal someone in your house. Will you run away or heal the person? That might be what will open the door to your ministry. If every opportunity you have to pray, you silence yourself, when the day that God wants to open the door comes, how will you supply? If you are always scared to heal people, how will you supply? By now, you should have converted all your cousins. All of them should be coming to your church. So that very soon, all of you can do the coup together. Amen? Some of you, the wisdom of your life will be to convert your senior brother. If he fights, your door will open. Amen? Are you getting something today? So, if you understand what I'm saying, you'll be unstoppable. If you learn to give up legitimate things for the purpose of the will of God, you'll be unstoppable. Nothing will stop you. Nothing. Meaning, not exam, not money. Amen? Some of you are small thinking when it comes to money. Money just used to treat you anyhow, affect your mood, your emotion, everything. When you have, we know. When you don't have, we know. You only come to church smiling when you have. When you're enjoying. Frowning. There are some things money should not limit you. For example, this can... See, treat money like a tool. Don't treat it like a god. Amen? The one thing me I received in ministry. Listen, Jacob received a blessing from his father. He said, I bless you with corn and something, something. But Esau was richer than him. Did he hear what I said? Did he carry anything when he ran away? So that means blessing a person with corn and wheat is not about material things. That person can be in a place where he has nothing and there will be a supply. Jesus. Do you hear what I told you? You didn't hear what I said? Not everybody who doesn't have. Some people have some supernatural resources that call out resources wherever they find themselves. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so those type of people don't think small. I don't have money to come for camp meeting. I will call the right people and the money will show. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Have you ever asked us for something in this church and we've not helped you? Why do you think that when you need money to come for camp, money will be a limitation? You are thinking too small. That's not the thinking of this DNA. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The majority of people here are students. Why am I thinking of using this kind of hall for meetings? It's because we may look small, but we are not small. We are not small. If I open to you some of the things that we do behind the, you know, closed doors, people will help things we do. Forget it. We're not small. It's you that's thinking small. Where are you from? Abuja, Zamfara. You will reach here if you want to reach here. Are you understand what I'm trying to say? So you have to understand that sometimes what God blesses you when he gives you an assignment is everything to call out the resources you need, but you're still thinking small. Are you learning something today? Are you learning something today? So what you now understand is that the parallel between Adam and Eve is actually Solomon. Solomon then asked the Lord, give me wisdom to know good and evil. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's the parallel. That is you that has the wisdom. Okay, now you, give me. I'm not going to go and seek it for myself. So there will be many things. Listen, the biggest opposition to you being great in God is personal ambition. You have to come to a place where you say, God, give me you. Every other thing can wait. Give me you. Give me you. Give me you. Every other thing can wait. You have a call of God in your life. Now they say, you should go and do masters. I'm subbing somebody. They say, you should go and do masters. You have call on your life. Now you are doing masters that is not useful to your future. Now you are done with the masters. You will not still do work with that masters. It's another job you do. You did biochem. Now you are coding. It's when you grow up that you will know that all the things they used to think were important are not important. Amen. So you mean after all the product that they preach? Imagine I'm not taking God serious. I say product manager. I don't go down prepare for this preaching now. Just they talk rubbish. Are you getting what I'm trying to say, somebody? So your thinking has to change. What I'm trying to say is that the same way they were on a mountain in Eden, you are on a mountain today and you must make a choice. Are you listening to me? You must make a choice. Today, you must make a choice. Hallelujah. They did not live by the word of God. Will you live by the word of God today? Again, remember, man shall not live by bread alone. The second story is the story of Noah. By now, some of you already know where I'm going, Abby. Noah came out of the mountain. I told you everything we're doing is going to be on mountains. Heaven on earth experience in the presence of God. And Noah takes, like I told you in the morning, the most important to him at that time, which was what? Life. And he offered it back to God. Some of you need to take all of those things that seem important to you and say, God, take it. Do you know that anything you can give back to God cannot control you? Sometimes that's the way to actually get control over certain things. Amen. Some of you need to be more generous than you are to show money that it does not control you. Are you listening to me? You are there arguing. Pastors are stealing your money. Instead of you to understand that there's consecration in every part of your life. Amen? Listen, learn this today. There must be consecration in every aspect of your life. You have 7 days in a week. Which one is unto the Lord? You have your finances. Which one is unto the Lord? So sometimes when we tell you to do some things, it's for you. Not for us. There must, if I don't give it to church, and just make sure that you control your money. Your money does not control you. Are you listening to me? You must learn to choose God above every other thing. So now listen, all the people I'm mentioning to you are key figures that God used in the Bible. In Windsor, I'll explain some more. In Eden, they made a decision that affected the whole world. Noah made a decision also that affected the whole world, because now God is saying, I can work with this guy. At least he has faith. At least he can give back to me. So all the people that led great people in this world, in scriptures, are people that gave back their most prized possession to God. Those are the intercessors that you find. Intercessors is not just by mouth. It's people that are willing to give everything so that more people can be saved. It's a decision you make on mountains. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? The third and the final story was the one I told you this morning on Mount Moriah. Abraham takes his son and says, God, take back. So listen, in the middle of how God was blessing Abraham, was God testing Abraham. So sometimes what God has given you, he might want it back to test your heart. Some of you, the most legitimate thing in your life that is taking you away from the plan of God is ministry. You love ministry more than you love God. Okay, you did not expect that one too. Yeah. You know, you can love ministry more than you love God. You love the aesthetics. You know? You put music. You're walking. You know? Your first ministration, they invited you to your sister's school, secondary school. You came down from the car, you said, record me. You went with PA. You know, someone is carrying your bag. You say, you now sat down. They are still recording you. You know, prayer that you not pray in the room. You don't know that you can like ministry more than you like God. You can. So to get to a point where you say, God, take it. Listen to me. If I traveled to Canada and God said, close down this church, I will close it down. So it shocked you. Everybody said, hey, sorry. He has not said it yet. He did not say it. Sorry. But I'm telling you. I'm telling you the state of my heart. The only reason why I did not close down the group chat was that God said I should not. When I discipled my first set, Jesus, I taught you before that God tested me at every phase of ministry. When I discipled my first set of disciples, 7 to 12 of them, at the end of it, God took it back. I gave him. I said, I'm done with you. The plan was 6 months. Go. They are here. Ask them. I said, I'm done. Ene was crying. Remember that meeting? Dikene was just crying. He said, you want to abandon us? You want to leave us? I said, no. God told me 6 months. I'm done. I gave it back. What I was after was, what is God saying now? Amen? And I'd done it before. Others had gone. Why is this set of people? Why don't they want to go? What did they do? Go, let me go to God and ask God for, you want to spoil my plan? Making me feel important. You know, then I went to pray. And then the Lord told me when I went to pray, he then told me that we were going to become a fellowship. And the reason why they did not go is because we're about to start something great. I didn't tell them then. So I said, okay. So, then the Lord gave me a prophecy. He said, in your first period, you will do 10 times their number as a proof to you that I sent you. So, we were 7, and in the first year of ministry, it became 70. Are you listening to me? 70. They went to go and bring everybody they knew. You know, woman at the well. Come see. They called everybody. Say, hey, Jesus, come and learn. Come and hear. They even brought their whole class. Yes, Abby. They brought their whole class in school. Come and hear. Are you getting what I'm saying? When I was about to travel, same thing. I said, Lord, well, you have instructed me to something more. I've not seen when they are doing ministry and the person is not there. I'm ready to end it. The Lord said, no. Actually, all the senior ministers that I know, that I met for counsel, they told me to close it. The only reason why I did not close it, and not because they did not hear God, they were giving me the counsel that is proper. The only reason why I did not close it was because God said no. And it's because God has the plans that is showing in us now today. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? It also means that if I get to any point in time and say, hey, bro, I'm calling you to be a carpenter now, close all of you. Say, okay, yes, Lord. You can just see me online, carpenter workshop. Hey, I'm teaching you how to follow God. Oh. Are you learning what I'm saying? As I round up this important teaching, the final picture of surrender that you would see is on Mount Golgotha. You know, Golgotha was a mountain too. Jesus gave everything, his life, for souls. Today I ask you to make a choice. What will you give for what God has asked you to do? Will you choose God and His word? Or will you choose every legitimate plan that you have? Listen, choosing God does not mean all those other things won't come. It just means you see God first. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and every other thing will be added. It's not say choose it so that every other thing will be added. You have to first give up every other thing. Then it will add based on the measure that He sees fit as you proceed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. God walked with the faith of Noah to rebuild the world. God walked with the faith of Abraham to choose his lineage as the lineage to bring the Messiah. God walked through the sacrifice of Jesus to bring the rest of us to this world. What will God do with your sacrifice? What will God do with your sacrifice? And are you ready to choose Him and His word over every other thing? Some of you have left God because of legitimate reasons, like even healing. You expected one healing, you didn't see it immediately. You say, is God real? Are you seeing what I'm saying? But there's a third caveat. I say, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, let me show you this. Even your sacrifices are a means to an end. Do you know that? Rise to your feet. Let me share this with you. You know, because one day Saul went to make sacrifice and Samuel told him, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. So Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. But the Bible then says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Before Hebrews, let me read Psalms. Psalms 40 verse 6. What will you give for the lives that are tied and attached to your life? What will you give? What will you give? Will you drop all your legitimate reasons to follow God? Will you choose to live not by bread alone? That even when you don't have, you are still okay if you are in the will of God. Psalms chapter 40, verse 6. It says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. It says, my ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Everybody read verse 7 together. 1, 2, go. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll. It is written of me. Is that your life? What is he saying? Your sacrifice is good, but it's a means to an end. Whatever you sacrifice for God, even if it's finances, it's important. I taught you about the importance in altars in the morning, right? But this is a continuation to show you that even when you give the sacrifices, you don't give the sacrifice and your heart is far. It is you he really wants. The sacrifice is for your heart. The testing is for your heart. The pruning is for your heart. So that you can give all you have for Jesus and live for Jesus alone. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so in the end, it is then. You see, David will now say, or the writer of this particular psalm, will now say that it's not about your sacrifice. It's not about my sacrifice. The reason why I'm here is because it is written in the volume of the books. It is written of me that I will do the will of God. It is written of me that I will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. My career will not control me. My life will not control me. I will live for the will of God. Then the writer of Hebrews quotes this in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Can we read together? It's a long read. I'm going to read 1 to 10. Are you ready to read, everybody? Begin to read from the beginning. 1, 2, go. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. Verse 2, I want to hear you go. Verse 3, what does it say? But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Verse 4, read. Verse 5, what does he say? Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. So now he's talking about Jesus. That even when Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice, he didn't think that was the main thing. It was a means to an end. It was a means to an end as well. What does the next verse say, everybody? Let's resemble together. I want to go. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the books. It is written of me to do your will, oh God. Is that your life? I know you heard of this, but you didn't know how it applied to you. This is how it applies to you. That whoever gives a sacrifice and knows that it is not just about the sacrifice, it's about him. He is the one that God wants. Is the one it is written of. It is you that the scripture spoke about. And so you know that your life will not consist in the abundance of the things that you have. That you will follow the Lord all your life and you will do his will. That the one thing that would matter in all of these motifs I've shown you on the mountain was that all these men who did great things with God, all these great stories that you read, they all got to a point on a cosmic mountain where they decided that God will be my God and let all men be liars. God will be my God and I will give up everything. I will give up my firstborn if I have to. I will give up everything I can if I have to. God is the most important in my life. That Noah will be on Mount Ararat. And he would bring the most important thing at that point. And say, it's you that preserved it, I give it back to you. What is most important is that I can show that I will live by every word that comes out of your mouth. And then Abraham will bring his only begotten son. And God will later do the same. But Abraham will bring his only begotten son. And say, you gave him to me as the method. But if you ask for him, I will give him back to you. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Well, I'm ready to give my life for you.